delighted today to have Bishop Stan Gleason with us. It was 1988, June of 1988, I believe he was elected as pastor of then Life Tabernacle, now the Life Church of Kansas City, and he would become my wife's pastor at that election. Later that year, our lives intersected as my family moved from Denham Springs, Louisiana to Blue Springs, Missouri, and we came connected and have been connected ever since, 38 years. We're too young for that. Too young. He has been influential in both of our lives, my wife and I, and even my children. When she asked him about dating me, she, I think, was probably hoping he would say no, but he put in a good word anyway, and the rest is history. He did part of our premarital counseling. He performed our marriage ceremony in July of 1995, and prior to that, when my wife was getting ready to go to wanting to go to Bible college, she was wanting to go to Stockton, California, to Christian Life College. And she told him that. He said, no, you need to go to Gateway College of Evangelism. And that's where we spent, me 17 years, my wife 18 years of our life in ministry. That life-changing moment, just asking the pastor, what do you think? It changes the course of your life when you listen to the man of God in your life. In 1994, while my wife, we were then dating, she was at Gateway, he became my pastor. And throughout my ministry, he has been influential in that. He served as the chairman of the board of Gateway College of Evangelism when I was campus pastor and vice president. Talked me off the ledge a few times. When I talked to him about going to seminary and getting my MDiv, I specifically, and he probably won't remember this, but I said, you know, I want to plant a church, but if I'm at Gateway, I need to go get my MDiv. And he said, I don't see that as going away from you planting a church, just another tool, another step in the process. And that has proven to be true. It took me a lot longer than I anticipated to get to the church planting stage, but God has directed my path through Bishop Stan Gleason. He would later become my district superintendent. He's assistant general superintendent of the Western Zone of the United Pentecostal Church. He serves on the Cross Church Board of Directors and has been so since the beginning. Continues to serve as a confidant, a mentor, advisor, spiritual leader. His church gave for some of the equipment that you still see here today. They paid for some 50 of the chairs you're sitting in today. Aren't you thankful that we're not sitting in those plastic chairs? And he continues to impact our current ministry. And my wife says frequently when she's teaching Bible studies that she references things that she learned in those influential teen years that Brother Gleason preached and taught and just exemplified. And to use his word, most people say the great man of God, but and that would be true. But what I picked up from him is this: it's not about the man, it's about the God. So would you welcome Brother Stan Gleason? He's a man of a great God today.
Oh my. That was way too long of an introduction, but I enjoyed every second of it. And in case you wondered how the Blackburns turned out so good, now you know. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. What a joy, an honor, a thrill, a privilege to be a part of this Pentecost Sunday, Memorial Day weekend service with all of you. And I feel like the Queen of Sheba who said, the half has not been told me. And I'm impressed, I'm delighted, I'm excited about everything that I see, hear, and feel at Cross Church. Are you thankful for a great church that you can come to and worship and be a part of and bring your friends and your family? Oh my goodness. I'm just so honored, and I just thank God. I know it sounds like the Mutual Admiration Society, but I do love the Blackburns. I love their family, Anthony and their daughter-in-law, and now a grandbaby, and Anna. Oh my goodness. The princess, and she is shining. And you know, I was thinking as I was driving over here, I discipled Sister Blackburn's father, Michael. And I'll never forget, he would come to our church for Bible studies over his lunch break. And after one Bible study, he said, he didn't know anything about, he didn't come to church, our church. I think it was raised in another tradition. But he said, Pastor, I'm ready to repent. I said, okay, let's go into the sanctuary. The lights were sort of like this. They were low. He got down on the altar. Now, if you know Mike, he's a big guy, like 6'4", 300 plus probably. And he knelt. And in a few minutes, you ever heard of Holy Rollers? That was really the first one I ever saw. He'd never seen it. I don't know if he ever heard about it. He started rolling back and forth like 2 hours. This went on. That guy repented. He had an encounter with God and just repenting and pouring out his heart and turning his life around by the grace of God. We were able to baptize him. God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. And so we thank the Lord for that. So thank you for letting me be a part of your family and your family. I love your mom and dad. And all your family, Brother Blackburn, we appreciate you. And he probably never talks about it, but in case you don't know, he's the district secretary in the Kansas District, UPCI. He's been elected by his colleagues to be sort of second in leadership in the district. And so we're thankful for his voice and his leadership here in Kansas. Amen. You've been standing a long time. Just one verse, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. If the Lord will help me today, I would like to not just preach, but I would like to preach for the occasion. And the occasion is Pentecost Sunday. Everybody say Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, and just for clarity, I'm just going to say Abraham. We know Abram means high father, and Abraham means father of many nations. So let me just use Abraham because that's what most of us call him, okay? The Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. So this is a specific promise to Abraham. Now, the next phrase, the Lord shifts it and says, I'm going to bless you, but not just for you. And you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. Now, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. Now, watch this. This is the text. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, Abraham, every family of the earth shall be blessed. And today, by the grace of God, I want to answer the question, what is the blessing of Abraham? And the title of this message on the occasion of Pentecost Sunday is Pentecost for Every Family. Amen. Pentecost for every family. Are you glad to be in the family of God today? Amen. And everybody's going to help me preach by saying amen at least one time. May be seated. And most of you got your amen out of the way. I could use one or two more along the way. By the way, pastor's got talent. I didn't know. He's up here leading worship. He's up here like Chris Tomlin. What in the world is going on? And in case you didn't know it, he's a world-class drummer. Where's the drummer that drummed today? There's a lot of pressure on you because have you ever heard Pastor play? Yeah, well, he's pretty good. And so are you. Amen. So Pentecost for every family. Everybody say Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. In the Jewish calendar, it was 50 days from the annual remembrance of Passover to the perennial or annual feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost was not invented on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2, but this was a celebration for generations through the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was initially poured out on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem around 33 to 34 AD in the upper room, where 120 faithful followers of Jesus Christ had gathered for many days, and they were praying and they were fasting and they were waiting for what Jesus called the promise of the Father. And they were tarrying. They didn't know what it was going to look like. They didn't know what it was going to sound like. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They just knew something was going to happen. And the Bible picks up the narrative in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided flames of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How do we know? Because they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, or the Spirit enabled them to. This divine eruption, accompanied by prophetic wind, prophetic fire, and speaking with tongues, was not the beginning of a denomination called Pentecostalism, but it was bigger than that. This, brothers and sisters, was the birth of the church. This was the birth of the church. It was not the birth of a denomination. Amen. Really, Pentecost, in a biblical sense, doesn't have anything to do with denominations. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with the church. Can I tell you, there is only one church. There is only one super pastor of the church, and his name is Jesus. Amen. At best, Brother Blackburn is an under-shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. But there's one church, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is above all and in us all and through us all. And somebody shout his name. Jesus, the Holy Ghost, is not a denominational thing, but it is a Jesus thing. In fact, after that initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as recorded for us in Acts chapter 2, Peter begins to preach in response to three questions that were asked. Get the picture. These 120 that first were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with tongues, they were locals. They were from Galilee. They were from the area. But the Bible says there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And then it names 17 different language and people groups that were present in Jerusalem. Why? For Pentecost. They're there for Pentecost, as had been going on for generations. And so these people from other nations are hearing locals speak in their native languages, having never learned their language, having never studied their language, having never memorized their language. This was a miracle. This was a phenomenon that had never happened before. It's happened since. My aunt and uncle, Dale and Lolita Brown, were missionaries in Lima, Peru for many years. And I'll never forget, as a teenager, they came home and they reported that a 12-year-old girl who was illiterate, she could not read or write in her own language. And yet when God filled her with the Holy Spirit, she was speaking in perfect English. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Can I tell you, the Holy Ghost is real. I can't give it. Pastor can't give it. It is a supernatural gift. It is the gift of God. And Jesus, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Acts 2:32. Peter's preaching in response to these three questions. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Question one. Question two. How hear we every man speak in our own tongue of the nations we are from? Question number three. What does it mean? What does it mean? Can I just sort of insert this in here and say, and ask you the question, do people ask questions in your church? If they're not asking questions, then something's wrong. I want people to ask questions at the Cross Church. People ask questions when they see things they've never seen before. People ask questions when they hear things they've never heard before. Come on, we have something to offer this community. We have something to offer Olathe and this county and this metro. Praise God. We can offer them Pentecost. We can offer them a feeling that they've never felt. Come on, somebody. We can offer them, amen, miracles, wonders, and signs. We can offer them things they've never seen, things they've never heard. Woo! Oh, my goodness. And if you can get people to ask the first three questions, they're going to ask the fourth question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter had the answer to every one of their questions. They said, what does this mean? And what did he do? He starts quoting from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He knew that his audience knew the prophet Joel. He knew that his audience revered and respected the prophet Joel. He knew that they would know that verse very well. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. He said, on my servants and in my handmaids, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you that when Joel uttered that prophecy 700 or 800 years before the moment we're preaching about in the text, that Joel probably did not even believe his own prophecy. It didn't fit his theology, because in Joel's day, only the prophets prophesy. But Joel said, there's coming a day, there's going to be an overflow of prophecy. Not just the prophets are going to prophesy. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Come on. Come on. Sons and daughters are going to be anointed. Sons and daughters are going to be called. I'm telling you, this thing is bigger than just the prophets. We thank God for the prophets. But the spirit of prophecy is on Cross Church today. Joel didn't even believe it, but before he could put it back in his mouth, it was already out there. Don't you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus because you know what he's doing right now? He's stepping over every denominational barrier. He's stepping over every theological barrier that has ever been put up. Pastor in the lesson was talking about people that he spent 2 hours talking to on his doorstep. And he mentioned their denomination. There are denominations today that don't believe in what you and I believe in today. They don't think the outpouring of the Holy Spirit speaking with tongues is for us today. They've drawn a line and said, well, you know, we can't deny it happened in the Bible, but it's not for us today. It's sort of like the little old lady that was leaving church one Sunday, and she was carrying her Bible. And it was a big, thick binder, but she only had about 3 pages in her Bible. And the pastor stopped her and said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jones, but what happened to your Bible? She said, oh, I've been listening to you preach for 40 years. I've been coming to this church for 40 years, and I hear you preach some great messages. But she said, every time you preach something and you say, I know it's in the Bible, but it's not for us today. She said, I just tear it out of my Bible. All she had left was 3 verses. I'm glad for a pastor that preaches the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't have to pull anything out. We don't have to explain anything away. We don't have to believe that the speaking with tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not for us today. It is for you. It is for your children. It is for all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I'm going to prophesy right now and say God wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost today. God wants to fill somebody with the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. If you believe it, clap your hands to the Lord. Oh, yes. Can I tell you that Jesus has wanted to baptize in the Holy Spirit for a long time? Even before Pentecost, it was in the heart of God to baptize in the Holy Spirit, but he couldn't do it in the Old Testament because John 7, 38 and 39 says the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to be the sacrificial lamb. He had to suffer, bleed, and die, be buried in a tomb, rise on the third day, show himself alive for 40 days, and then ascended into heaven. And just a few days after the ascension, I think it was difficult for the Lord to even wait. Is it Pentecost Sunday yet? Is it Pentecost Sunday yet? I've been waiting a long time. I've been waiting a long time to do this. In fact, in the Old Testament, Pastor was teaching on the law. And in the Old Testament, there was what was called the high priest. And Numbers chapter 6 records for us the priestly blessing. Some of you know it. Some of you've heard it. My father on his deathbed, he gave his 4 kids the priestly blessing. And here's how it goes. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord set his countenance upon you and give you peace. The theologians of the New Testament believed that when the priest gave that blessing in the Old Testament, it was the closest thing to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it couldn't come yet. But in God's economy, God said, I can't give him the Holy Ghost yet, but I'm going to send my high priest. And he's going to lift his hands over the congregation. And he's going to give them the blessing. And oh, year after year, God was wanting to pour out the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Old Testament theologians believed that in the Old Testament, that was the closest thing that they could ever have to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wanted to fill people with the Spirit for hundreds of years. And he still wants to do it today. And I'm glad today there's more than the priestly blessing. pastor could stand and he could lift his hands over the congregation and he could say, the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious and set his countenance and give you peace. But can I tell you, there's a better blessing than that. There's a deeper blessing than that. There's a greater blessing than that. There's a higher blessing than that. God is willing that whoever calls on the name of the Lord today shall be saved. Everybody say Pentecost. Oh my goodness. Is it wrong to say I'm proud to be Pentecostal? I'm going to say it like this. I'm suitably proud. Suitably proud. There's a phrase for you. That means you can get away with pride. If it's suitable pride. That means humble pride. Is that a juxtaposition? Let me tell you why I'll change the word. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be a Pentecostal because it's not a denomination. It's an experience. It's an encounter. When you have a Pentecostal experience, there is a before and after picture. There's not a, well, I hope so. Well, I'm not sure. Well, I sort of wonder if I ever got baptized in the Spirit. Nobody that was really ever filled with the Holy Ghost ever said, I don't know if I got the Holy Ghost or not, if they really got it. In fact, I was praying. I was a youth pastor in Columbus, Ohio, and I was praying with a young man, and he was speaking with tongues. He was a teenager. And I said, what happened to you? I don't ever like to tell anybody they got the Holy Ghost. I want them to tell me. I want them to tell me. I want them to know it for themselves. And I said, what happened to you? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, were you filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, I don't think so. And I just listened to him for 10 or 15 minutes speaking with tongues. I said, why? Why are you not sure about that? He said, well, you see that man over there? There was an older man in the church. He said, he told me when I receive the Holy Ghost, I'm going to feel like I'm floating on a cloud. He said, and I didn't feel like I was floating on a cloud. I said, can I tell you something? God bless that old man. I'll let him have it later. I'll correct him later, which I never did. But I told that young man that the evidence is not feeling like you're floating on a cloud. The evidence is speaking in a language you never learned as you are enabled by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. I was thinking this morning about my children. My son Justin, who's our pastor now, received the Holy Ghost when he was 11. His sister Marissa, she received the Holy Spirit when she was 4. I was there. I heard her speak with tongues. I heard him speak with tongues. One day I came into the house. Her little sister, Michaela, was about 4. And her little brother, Caleb, was about 1.5 years. And I came around the corner. And when Michaela gets all emotional and fired up, she's got a vein that pops out on her head. And here she was, 4 years old. And Caleb had a bottle. He had a bottle in one hand, and she's got his other hand jerked up, and she says, come on, Caleb, receive the Holy Ghost. He's 1.5 years old. And then, Brother Blackburn, she started speaking in tongues. She was 4, and I thought, oh, she's just imitating it. Then I saw that vein pop out, and I felt the anointing. I don't know if that was the day she received the Holy Ghost or not, and the one I wasn't present was Caleb when he received the Holy Ghost at kids camp at the Gateway Echo Chapel. Amen. God filled him with the Holy Ghost and called him to preach. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. It's for you. It's for your children. It's to all that God will call. Amen. It's Pentecost for every family. Don't be ashamed to be Pentecostal. Don't be embarrassed to be Pentecostal. Our general superintendent, David Bernard, recently said to the executive board that our organization that Cross Church is a part of is one of the fastest growing religious organizations in the world. Why? Because Pentecost is an experience. I want to tell you that when Peter said that Jesus, I just read you the verse in Acts 2:32 and 33. He said, Jesus has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. How do you know you're filled with the Holy Ghost? You'll see it and you'll hear it. In fact, the only time anyone ever ran to the altar in my 47 years of preaching was a guy sitting way over there. His name was Ken Cantrell. We just started teaching him a Bible study. We're about 5 weeks into it. And I was preaching on a Sunday night, and I had three more good points. I studied hours and hours. I had three more good points, and he wrecked my sermon because he jumped up. He ran and stopped right in front of the pulpit. Nobody told him he had to do that. You don't have to do that. I know a guy that got filled with the Holy Ghost in a Minnesota snowstorm, Brother John Eaton. It was Daryl Winicky. I think you probably knew him. His Holy Ghost came on him. He had to pull over, get out of his car, knelt in a snowbank with snow coming down. I know a guy named Randy Rugg that was walking through the Vatican and the Holy Ghost fell on him. Let me tell you when the Holy Ghost will come, when you're ready for it, when you're hungry for it. You don't have to be a certain place. You don't have to kneel a certain way. You don't have to hold your hands a certain way. When you're ready to receive the Holy Ghost, it'll come. Woo! And this guy, Kent, he took off running. He stopped. And the whole church is looking at him. And he lifted his hands. And I said, Brother Ken, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Boom. He started speaking with tongues. He wrecked that church. He wrecked that service. I wish I could have preached those three. No, I didn't want to preach the rest of my sermon. What's the point of preaching if it's not to bring somebody to a moment of faith and a moment of decision? On the way here today, I said, God, give us a Cornelius moment. Hallelujah. I don't have to finish my message today. While Peter yet said these things, the Holy Ghost fell on Cornelius and his household. And the Holy Ghost can fall on you right now. Somebody clap your hands and shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost comes, you'll see it. How do you see it? Speaking with tongues. And you'll hear it. How do you hear it? Speaking with tongues. You see, God was wanting to pour out the Holy Spirit for a long time. The prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah said, God spoke through them and said, I will put a new spirit in you. It's not going to be the old way. I'm going to give you a new spirit. In fact, Isaiah 28:11 was stammering lips and another tongue. Will I speak to my people? Jesus is talking to Nicodemus one day, who was a doctor of the law. He was very astute and educated in the Old Testament. And he came to Jesus by night, secretly, because he didn't want to blow his cover. He said, Lord, we know you're a teacher come from God. No man could do the things that you do. And Jesus cut right to the chase. He said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot. Everybody say, you cannot. The kingdom of heaven is exclusive. I'm sorry. It's for everyone. In that sense, it's inclusive. All flesh. But you've got to obey the gospel. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, amen. Or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not my word, that's Jesus. The one who suffered and bled and purchased the price of your salvation and mine. And Lord, Nicodemus said, do I have to enter my mother's womb again to be born? Jesus said, don't be amazed that I say you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. But you must be born again. And then he says a curious thing in John 3:8. He says, the wind blows where it wants to. And you hear the sound of it. Everybody say the sound. But you can't tell where it came from or where it went. So is everyone. Everybody say everyone. My Lord, I got an authority on me right now and a boldness to preach what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said the wind blows where it wants to. You can't control it. You can't hold it. That's why in the 60s, the Holy Spirit started falling in Catholic churches. It started falling in Lutheran churches. We call it the charismatic renewal. Prophet Kenneth Reeves prophesied in 1969 that there would be a wave of the Holy Spirit that would start on the West Coast and go to the East Coast and back to the West Coast. Talk about sea to shining sea. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus said that the Holy Ghost is like a wind. It will blow indiscriminately. When I was a kid, I used to think that only Pentecostal churches were places where people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost until I went to an Andre Crouch and Disciples concert. And it messed me up, my 17-year-old theology, because I felt the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is moving, I want to get in it. If the Holy Spirit is moving, I want to get in it. You ought to feel so blessed to be in a Pentecostal church today. Can I tell you that denominational churches are closing? And who's buying their buildings? The Pentecostals are buying their buildings. Can I tell you that George Barna, who researches Christianity, said that 53,000 people a week are walking out of dead, stained glass, twice plucked up by the roots religion because they don't have anything to offer. And where are they going? They're going straight to Pentecostal churches, because those churches offer something that you can feel. They offer fire and wind. Oh, somebody clap like you mean it right now. Come on, this is a Pentecostal church. Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound of it. So is everyone. Everybody say everyone. He didn't say 10% or most everyone. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus is saying there will be a universal evidence. And he used the word sound. That's interesting. Which is the Greek word phoné, if I understand it, or phoneo, from which we get our word phonics. Somebody say hooked on phonics. Phonics. What's phonics? Pronunciation of words. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, everybody that gets born of the Spirit, he settled it right there. He said, there's going to be a universal sound. When I fill people with my spirit, they're going to know it because they're going to hear it and they're going to see it. Can I tell you, don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. We know that's, thank God for believing. But Paul came to some believers in Ephesus and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We're not taking believing away from anybody. We celebrate believing. But I want to ask you today, have you received the Holy Ghost since you became a believer? They said, we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul said unto them, what were you baptized? They said, to the baptism of John. He said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying, believe on him who's coming after him. That is on the Lord Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Woo! It's hard to stay humble when you're in the Word of God. Come on, somebody say he's preaching the book. Turn to somebody and say he's preaching the book today. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to be in a Pentecostal church today. And Anna, if you would please come. I have a daughter-in-law, Anna, so that's a problem for me, Anna and Anna. And I'm going to have her come to give you a little hope that I'm almost done. Did you know that in 2002, Time Magazine ran a special edition? And in that edition were the top 100 events to have impacted the world in the last 1,000 years, the last millennial. Included in that list of the top 100, the Gutenberg Press, the Compass, the Declaration of Independence, the first television broadcast, the invention of penicillin, the French Revolution, the world's first restaurant. All the Pentecostals said amen. The invention of dynamite, and listed at number 68, Pentecostalism. They only missed it by 67 slots. Why is Pentecostalism sweeping the world right now? Why are traditional denominations being confronted and having to change their theological position? Like one large denomination in South America where the Holy Spirit is being poured out by thousands and thousands and thousands. They've had to change their theology because you can't fight God. You can't fight God. And the reason is because Pentecost offers a life-changing experience. It offers an authentic encounter with God. And it offers a testimony that you want to share. Well, I just got to my sermon, but let me just say it this way. If you bring up Galatians 3:14, when God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, and you shall every family of the earth be blessed. What is the blessing of Abraham? Paul answered the question. Read it with me. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham is the baptism. Did you hear it? Abraham's the father of the faithful. The Bible says that. He's the father of any man that has faith in God. He's the father of it. And Paul said, the blessing of Abraham, you know, I've heard people say, oh, the blessing of Abraham is, you know, the ability to accumulate wealth. No, that's not the blessing of Abraham. That's everyone's blessing if you covenant partner with God. But the blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And think about this. God said, Abraham, in you shall every family. Some interpret that to be nations. Some interpret that to be ethnicities. It certainly is. But I'm saying today, I'm just reading it like the Bible says it. Every family is entitled. In fact, it's prophesied. What does that say about how magnificent the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is? It's a good day to be Pentecost, Cross Church, because God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And we're a part of it. We don't explain it away. We don't say, we don't preach it anymore. In fact, in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus gave us the signs of the last days. He said wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and earthquakes and nation rising against nation and earthquakes in diverse places and pestilence and the spirit of offense and many false Christs. But can I tell you, none of those are the most significant sign that we are living in the last days. The most significant sign, would you stand with me? the most significant sign that we are living in the last days, listen, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Look, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not picking a fight with anybody. But if nobody's receiving the Holy Spirit in any church in the Kansas City Metro, that's not what God has in mind for the last days. If they're not being baptized in the Holy Ghost, if they got a Bible on the pulpit, they're not my enemy. I celebrate and I thank God for anybody that's standing for the Word. But I'm telling you that the greatest sign we're living in the last days is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's how you know you're in the right church. It's for every family. It's all through the book of Acts. Peter said it for the promise. Let me back up. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children. It's for every family. Come on, somebody lift your hands and say, it's for my family. You might be the only one in your family, but you're not going to be the last one. You might be the first one, but you're not going to be the last one. It takes somebody to be the first one. Come on, how many want to see your family baptized in the Holy Spirit? You want your parents, you want your children, you want to see your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. You want them all to be baptized. When you read the book of Acts, it's families. It's families. It's Cornelius and his family. It's Lydia and her family. It's the jailer in Philippi and his family. It's Simon, the one who carried Jesus' cross, and his wife and sons, Alexander and Rufus. It's their family. In fact, I don't know if you know it or not, and this is so impressive to me, on the day of Pentecost, did you know that Jesus' family was there? You got to think about that. Their snotty-nosed brother is the Messiah. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. How authentic does that make Jesus? Mary's there, his own mother. She's the one that birthed him. Sorry, I get a little excited once in a while. His sisters are there. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. That's his biological half-brothers. They're there. They're named in the scripture. James had a problem with Jesus, but later he became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Can I just say something to Jesus? Jesus, I want to thank you for being so real, ever being so authentic, that your own mother and your own sisters and your brother, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wasn't fake. He was authentic. He was real. And he's the baptizer today, every family. So I've got a picture of a young man named Darles. He lives in Fort Madison, Iowa. There he is. He's in a suit and a tie. I preach in this church, Chris and Amanda Frank. I've been there a few times, and they call me pastor and bishop and whatever. And they're getting ready to build. That little building only seats 100. It's half the size of this. And so Darles had told me in my previous visit, he said, Brother Gleason, he said, Sister Alma, he said, I have such a burden for my people, the Filipinos. He said, I love my people. He said, I have such a burden. He probably didn't know that the Filipino church is the largest in the UPCI, 1.7 million in the Philippines. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. So when I came back to preach that next time, that's his mother right behind him. A staunch religious person, I won't say what church, and her boyfriend right next to her. That was her first time to ever be in a Pentecostal service. And while I was preaching, a prophetic anointing came upon me, and I came off the platform. One step. You got two steps here. They just got one step. I came off the platform. I said, Darles, you still believe that God wants to baptize the Filipinos? And do you have a burden for the Filipino? He's 15 years old. He stood up. I said, stand up, Darles. He said, yes, I do. I said, do you know how to pray in the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, I do. I said, Darles, I want you to start praying right now in the Spirit that God will baptize every Filipino family in the Holy Ghost. And he started praying in the Holy Ghost. When he did, his mother, first time ever, she began to weep instantly. The pastor's wife and other ladies came over by her. His mother's boyfriend, he was a piece of work. He really wasn't a good man at that time. But the Holy Ghost fell on her, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And show the next picture. When I came back the next time, his mother had the Holy Ghost. Her boyfriend, now her husband, got the Holy Ghost. His mother was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that's the young man that discipled Darles. It doesn't matter what your family looks like. It doesn't matter what you call your family. But in every family, there will be someone baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this altar call today is for anyone that wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God is going to pour out the Holy Spirit today. And you will know it because you will speak with other tongues. And if you've never experienced that experience before, why would you not want it if it's your privilege to receive it? If he went to the cross for you to receive it. And the second candidate for this altar call is if perhaps you have the Holy Spirit, but you want it to fall upon more members of your family. You're going to stand here for your family today. Would you come right now? I want some of these young people to come, maybe some couples to come, young adults. I want you to come. Just come on up here. You're taking a step of faith. I'm going to give you some instructions in just a moment. Just come on up here. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Amen. Come on. Stretch all the way across the front. Stretch all the way across the front. We got some more room over here. Come on. Praise God. Now I want the other members of the congregation to come in behind. Come in. Let's come as a church. We're coming for our city. We're coming for our community. We're coming for our metro. Praise God. Parents, bring your young children. Get them up here. If God can fill a four-year-old. My daughter Marissa was four, but she was speaking with tongues. It was the real deal. So here's what we're going to do. Please listen carefully. We're all going to pray and we're going to repent. And we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. You said, well, you already did that. You said, I already did that. Did you do it today? And then again tomorrow? Every day? Make sure you repent and stay consecrated. So that's what we're going to do first. So that's what we're going to do. Repent means to turn from any disobedience. Pastor was preaching what disobedience is today. What is sin today? It's disobedience to the Word of God. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your head up to the Lord. And I want you to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come on, go ahead and repent. Just tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Lord, I want my vessel to be clean. I want my heart to be right. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Come on, I challenge you today. Repent. Repent. Peter said that. Repent, every one of you. You got to repent. It's the first step in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Turn from your sin. Anything you can think of. Ask God to forgive you the things you know and the things you don't know. The sins that you committed and the sins that you, things that you did that you did that you should not have done and things you should have done that you didn't do. Lord, forgive me. Just cleanse me right now, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord, of things I said, actions I took that were unkind, that were grievous, that disobeyed your word. I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Come on. If you have a sense that he's forgiven you right now, would you lift both your hands and begin to thank him? Begin to thank him for the power of the cross. Thank him for forgiveness. Come on. Come on, young person, lift up your hands. That's right. Lift up your hands and talk to Jesus. Lift up your hands. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. The Bible said, lift up holy hands to the Lord. Lift them up. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Now, if you believe that He's forgiven you, would you clap your hands and thank Him? Amen. Let's rejoice. Let's thank Him for forgiving us. Lord, You forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Praise God. Does that feel good? I feel better. I feel better. I repented. I've been repenting for 61 years. I try to do it every day. Every day. Now, you're ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to receive it. Whatever it feels like is whatever it feels like. Whatever it sounds like. Now, can I tell you, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in a language you don't know. It doesn't have to be a known language on this earth. It's just a language that you don't know. You don't understand. That's the miracle. I see it already coming. I see the Holy Spirit already coming. Get ready. It's going to fall on you. So please, please, just for the sake of unity and obedience, just do what I ask you to do. Just lift your hands. I want you to close your eyes. And I'm going to speak a word of faith. And when I speak it, I want you to shout hallelujah or shout Jesus. Just shout Jesus and hallelujah from way down deep inside. Will you do that in just a minute? I'm going to speak it. And here we go. Are you ready? The Holy, I see it already falling. Here we go. By the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now shout hallelujah. Oh, come on, shout it. Shout it. Shout it. The Holy Ghost is falling.